Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Grey's Academy, your favorite Grey's Anatomy podcast in the whole wide world, for a very special February 14th-ish episode. I am one of your hosts, Kelsey.
And I am one of your hosts, Carmen, and it's a beautiful day for a podcast, and this episode is all about the majesty of smushing booties.
It's really about love.
Yeah, but you know,
only one people smush booties. No one else does.
Love and smushing booties are kind of the same thing.
They're simply not at all the same thing. In any way.
I love smushing booties, so that to me means that it's the same thing.
It's not. can't make it any clearer. It's not the same thing. It varies from person to person and relationship to relationship. It's I will true. Not make a sweeping mandate. For yeah. everyone.
I'm
glad
not
that you love it for you.
I do, yes.
In your relationship.
And I love love. And also love is not, you know, you can have
love. It is
love.
All you need.
It is all you need. I've heard that before.
It's what they say.
Man.
I don't know that it's true, but it is what they say.
Can I just, before we jump in, I do have a couple of shout outs before everything, but I got to tell you, this dog is very different than my last dog.
I was... pretty confident that would happen.
I mean, it's fun. It's exciting. And I'm having a great time.
It's also a different situation because you have not, like, you have a child.
Yes, that is different.
Previously, you had just the two of you guys. And you're more self-sufficient than a three-year-old.
Yeah. But, yeah, for any of those of you folks who are not in the Patreon, it is the dog that we adopted. Her name is Princess Vanellope von Schweetz. And the amount of people who, when I say, go, oh, that's an interesting name, and have never seen Wreck-It Ralph is truly alarming.
That's shocking.
Truly. Seriously.
I'm mad on
and
behalf.
I told that to my siblings, and two of them were like, I've never heard of that before. And then one of them was like, I've seen that movie, and it's just mid. And I'm like, you are just mid. Like, that... I'm sorry. If you've not seen Wreck-It Ralph, skip 30 seconds because I need to say one thing to the entire world. So I'm going to give you 2 seconds. 1/1000 to Hippopotamus. The reveal that King Candy is Turbo lives rent-free in my brain. And it is, in my opinion, the greatest cinematic reveal of an animated movie that I've ever seen.
That's pretty good.
I was with you in your, I remember. I was in your house that I remember the whole scenario. I remember standing up from the table. Lots of bad words came out of my mouth.
It's a good movie.
It's a great movie.
Well, no, whoever said it was mid probably likes stupid movies.
Well, it was my sister Grace. So,
well, yeah. She probably likes stupid movies.
And Michael and Sam hadn't even seen the movie. So they're all, you know, all three of them are below mid actually. All right. Do you have any shout outs you want to start with, or should I?
Nope. Oh, wait. Okay. I will shout out Joe. Because Saturday was Clay's birthday, so I texted him and I said, happy birthday. And he goes, thanks. Did you know it was my birthday? Because my dad emailed you and told you. And I said, no, I just actually know your birthday. But your dad
That's
did email
funny.
Me this week.
We actually have 2 Apple Podcast reviews to shout out. One is from Snuggins 12388, and the title of this is Great Podcast, Too Mean to George. It's fair.
Disagree. I already disagree with the second half.
It's okay. I mean, we are pretty mean, but so it's a 5-star, by the way. So we're mean to George, but it's still a 5-star. Unlike the other ones where we've gotten, where they're like, meh, you shouldn't like banter. 3 stars. Fucking Clara. So fun to relive the series in this great podcast, even if they're mean to one of my favorite characters. Also, love the friendship of the hosts. It's like chatting with friends about my favorite show. Keep up the friendly banter. And also, special, special shout out to that person, to Snuggins 12388. She followed me on Instagram and I was messaging her back and forth. So shout out to you. This one I just must have popped up because I'm seeing this for the first time. The title is just "Hi" with 3 exclamation points. Well, I guess it's a fair point. I don't know. It's pretty short. No, it's good. 5 stars. You guys are awesome. I listen to this podcast to pass time at work, and it has made me laugh out loud several times. I love being reminded of my fave Grey's episodes and all the antics of my fave characters. Thanks. No, thank you, SE1206.
Love it.
And then I have a shout out for our friend Erin. Erin, I was messaging her and I thought she was our Patreon Erin that had joined, but she's a different Erin. So shout out to her. Had some good conversations there. Shout out to Bryson, who is having a good old time. Really loved saying some sweet things. And also, she just got to the point where we had to say goodbye to Grievous. So Bryson had to hearing about Grievous getting, you know, having to be put down. So Bryson had shared some very nice things about, you know, that, and had them have to put their dog down too. And then I think I have one last one. Sorry. And then Jennifer, thank you so much for the shout out on Instagram. I saw that you responded to my message there. And I think that's it. I think I'm done.
I wanted to also to shout out Maddie, the resident president of our Teddy fan club.
Yes.
Because she had to have surgery because she got a work boo-boo. And she works with in the vet world, like you, but different because with animals directly, not with the people with the animals. But I didn't ask her how specifically she was injured because I fear I will not like the story. But she got a boo-boo on her hand and had to have surgery. So shout out to you and your recovery. We love you. Okay.
Yeah. And this Teddy monologue goes out to you, Maddie.
So real. Just a couple good ones in this episode. Okay. So let's just dive right into Grey's today. This is the 14th episode of the 8th season. 14. February 14th.
Oh, wow.
It is the 162nd episode overall, and it is called "All You Need Is Love," and that is the exact song that you think it is.
Yes, the Beatles, those guys from England, Liverpool.
Been hearing a lot of buzz from them.
Yes, from the bars underground, playing in Germany, coming to a black and white screen near you in America. It was released off of a B-side album titled "Baby, You're a Rich Man," which is another good song, but it was released on July 7th, 1967. And this also was a song they had as a contribution to the Our World global like television broadcast. That fun fact about that, just small diversion here, it was broadcast on Sunday, June 25th in 1967, with an estimated audience, kind of a wide range, 400 to 700 million people.
They didn't know how to count as much then. Yeah. Like, they couldn't get as much of a person. They had to just ask people on the street, hey, were you watching this?
Just straw polls up and down the street. But anyways, it was a pretty cool thing. It was the largest broadcast at the time. I think Elvis actually owns the record for the largest musical like world event broadcast, and it's still to this day. I don't know, but anyways, "All You Need Is Love," famously used in the scene from the John Travolta movie Michael. If you've not seen it, they save a dog. It's pretty wild. Here are all the countries that "All You Need Is Love" hit number one in. It's easier to just name the number one ones because there's so many countries. Australia, Canada, Ireland, the Netherlands, New Zealand, Norway, Sweden, the UK, the US, and because it's so old, West Germany. So, with that being said, it's already in my iTunes library. Actually, yeah, it's already in my iTunes library. I think objectively, I'm going to give it a 5. Subjectively, not one of my favorite Beatles songs. I'm only going to give it a 4. But
I feel like when you're doing subjectively, it doesn't mean compare it to other Beatles songs. It's just like as a song on its own.
Yeah, it's. I think it's a good song. Objectively, great song. Everyone knows this song. Okay. I actually skip this song more than I listen to it when it comes.
Carmen
on
has both a Beatles poster hanging behind him and a Paul McCartney photograph hanging behind him.
Yeah, it's true. I love the Beatles.
Paul McCartney was at the Super Bowl, and I said, "It'd be so nice to be Paul McCartney. Just like, just do whatever you want, and just go wherever you want, and just be Paul McCartney." Must be nice.
I've seen Paul McCartney live, I think, 4 or 5 times.
Just the once for me.
Yeah, we should have gone to that one together.
I don't know that you would have thrived in a Bonnaroo situation. You're a bit bougie for that.
I've done the Riot Fests, and I've done the...
But you just go day of. Right, well, you don't stay. That's what I'm saying. I did the weekend. Like, I camped in a tent in, like, mud.
Wait, that's what Bonnaroo is? You camp?
Yeah, bro.
Oh no! I'm
yeah,
so glad
you
go.
Stay like there. It's you are there, and everyone is on drugs.
I'm so good. I'm glad I didn't do that. I did not know that
it was.
You
it's also
camped there.
In the summer in Tennessee. It's quite warm.
Yep.
I was there working, so luckily the company I was working with, I was selling corn dogs and funnel cakes, which was actually a really weird but super fun thing that I did for a couple months in my life. But they, because they like do that, they go mainly to festivals all over the country and do that. They had this like pop-up tent that is a shower. So they set that up for all the workers, and you just like put water in it in like a solar bag. And so the sun warms it, and then you take a shower in it. Otherwise, there's no showering at Bonnaroo.
Yeah. Do you think Paul McCartney camped in the mud too?
You know, they probably give the performers somewhere to stay. Offsite, yeah. If I had to guess.
I would stay there. Can't you just like leave and come back? Do you get a little stamp? Bring a little bag of food in? Your cold cuts?
There's like the camping place is on the property, but you have to go in an entrance to go to the festival. Like a separate entrance. So like I was camping on the site, but you still have to go through like the ticketed security checkpoint entrance.
So I could have just gone to one day.
You can. I just like it's a bit of a hassle as far as like getting on the property and parking and like getting in and everything.
Oh, listen, it's from Chicago.
It's a lot
fine.
Of people. I know, but like it's not a city. It's a giant piece of muddy farmland.
I wouldn't wear good shoes to that.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend it. I wore boots.
Did I talk? I just literally said the song All You Need Is Love, and I talked all about it before you even introduced the episode.
Well, no, I said, and that's
did
a song.
You? Oh, gosh, fuck. I'm so tired. I don't even know what's happening.
Yeah, we're doing great. It's okay. This episode was written by Janine Renshaw and directed by Rob Korn. And
I was going to guess Rob Korn.
Yeah,
he
knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. It aired February 9th, 2012. So we're like kind of we're on the same week releasing this as they... this will release on the 13th, but we're on par with Valentine's Day. So we hope that if you like Valentine's Day, this episode puts you in a Valentine's Day good mood.
To smush.
And if you don't like Valentine's Day, that's fine because it's fine.
Yeah.
It is what it is. It's there.
It's just a day.
It can be just a day. It can be a big deal. I am all for celebrating relationships, be they platonic, friendshipy, relationshipy, lovey. You know, it's just like celebrate love is good. Good to tell people you love them.
And happy Galentine's too to those who celebrate, you know? Mm-hmm. Valentine's and Galentine's.
This episode aired to 10.27 million views. So back up to the tens. It's been a minute since we were there. Been kind of in the 8-9s. So, ow, sorry, my baby is kicking me. Ow, okay. The Netflix synopsis is loading. It is Callie surprises Arizona with a romantic evening, which is a really stupid synopsis for this specific episode. That is
that's not even the B plot.
That's like the F plot. Like, there's just
effer, you know what?
Like, they were like, what is the least like important thing that occurs in this episode? What thing in this episode has the least amount of impact moving forward? The only one of the only stable couples having a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So good times.
I want you to know on that particular F plot storyline, I was really nervous that they were going to walk into Meredith and Derek smushing in the Airstream. Like all this build up to this and the paths cross and they walk in on someone else boning.
Arizona was kind of like not her best self in this storyline, in my opinion, because she was doing exactly what she was mad about at Callie for doing about Africa. She was like being super negative about it and just like pretending that she wasn't.
Yeah,
I didn't love it.
But we do have a new crowned rock, paper, scissors champion. For the entire
so funny.
The entire show.
Cannot get enough of Mark and Jackson together.
Seriously. I
inject
would watch
it directly
a spin-off.
Into my veins.
Absolutely. I would watch a spin-off of just them. Like just hanging out.
Like the towel on the shoulder.
Yes.
That like smacked his butt. But like it's
go,
so
go
funny.
Go get him. It was yeah, that was
so
golden.
So funny.
Big fan. Big fan of those two. Not a big fan of the ending scene involving those two, but that's okay. We'll get there. So yeah, where do we want to start with this?
We can start. Let's just start with Lexi.
Poor Lexi.
Why does she feel the need to lie? Is my question.
I think that she just felt pressured, you know, like,
but
she,
no
there
one
was
just talking to her.
I mean,
Mark did
fair.
Not say, what are you doing tonight? She overheard him talking about his plans and said, I have a date tonight.
Yeah, I got a hot date. Like, me too. I think it's just a natural instinct thing. It's embarrassing for her because look at her. She doesn't need to do anything. She's fine.
She's
also
perfect.
That scene where Weber is like, I bet you're hitting the town tonight. And she's like, I'm not hitting much of anything lately.
Yeah, I actually love that moment. Because she's immediately like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. She's like mortified.
And he's not even the chief anymore, but also it's just really funny to watch him. You know what? Put that man back in the chief position. Our chief that we have right now is not my chief.
Owen is like just not doing anything good. Like, I'm not on Owen's side for any personal relationships that he has. And I think part of the issue, and we'll get to this later, is the blurred line between the personal and the chief situation. That is where I think a lot of the issues are coming from. Both
I have a
previously
bit of a,
and now in this one.
Yeah. I have a bit of a beef because of his war on beautiful flower bouquets. And Sweet
yeah.
April is like, I'm just going to save these flowers. And Weber, that's when Weber gives her the wink of like,
yeah,
don't listen to that guy. What does he
so
know? Wink.
Here's my thing with Valentine's Day is, like I said, I think it's great to celebrate love in any capacity that you have it in your life, because it is like a wonderful thing to have, both, you know, familial, friendship, like partnership, like any of that. And it's good to celebrate and we should tell people that we love them all the time. And where I get frustrated with Valentine's Day is like what the flower guy was talking about, where he's like, people just treat each other like shit for 360 some odd days. And then this one day a year, they're like, but here's some flowers so we can stay married. Like, I am all for like show up randomly with some flowers, you know, show up like just when, I saw this and thought of you and I wanted to get it for you. Like things, little gifts like that throughout the year. like on a random day. I'm all, again, also for Valentine's Day, but like, I don't think that if you're good at Valentine's Day, it should excuse poor behavior the rest of the relationship.
Yeah.
And I think I that is kind of what happens sometimes in like not great relationships. But I do think, I don't like when people love Valentine's Day, I would never be like, oh my God, you're so stupid. Why do you do that? No, like just another, like what Richard says, like, what's wrong with a day to celebrate the people you love? Like, that's true. But just like do that all the time also.
Right, right. It's let this be an extension, not the reason to. It's like with Christmas, right? You know, there is something to be said about giving on Christmas and buying things, whatever the blurred lines of heartfelt generosity and selling your soul to the capitalist overlords, right? There's a fine line. And Jessica and I are like, no, we celebrate capitalism every day of the year. Christmas is not an exception, yeah. You know?
Again, same and thing then, with Valentine's. Well, there's also like, oh, I got this gift because I know you really well and I know like what you like and what makes you happy versus I got you a gift because I felt like I had to get you a gift because of society pressures.
Right, right.
So anyways, I don't want it to come off like I think Valentine's Day is stupid or people who celebrate it are stupid. Like we will probably go to dinner next week because like I have no desire to go out on a Friday night that is Valentine's Day because that sounds like it's going to be a nightmare. So I think we're just going to like have a date next week sometime. But like we'll give the kids cards and like a book, little gift, like a little gift, you know, not anything major. Some people go all out with like the giant baskets. More power to you. I cannot do that right now. Brain capacity to do much. But so we have like a couple little Disney books that we'll just give them and then little cards just to be like, we love you. So
I got Justin. Sorry. I got Justin Marlowe a dog for Valentine's Day.
So. You did.
So we're good.
Jessica, I will say, when she told me, she was like, it's not the right time, but I can't say no to them anymore.
Listen, we will make this episode, I swear. But I was in therapy the other day and I told my therapist about getting the dog. And she's like, and I said something about like, it's probably not the right time, but like, I'm just so happy. And she's like, well, what would have been the right time? And I was like, if it was up to me, the day we said goodbye to our dog, I would have gone and get another
one. That is wildly unhealthy.
You're right. But I'm not saying that you're wrong. But yeah, like it has been well over a year that we have been dog free. Mm-hmm. Yes, we broke the plans that we had made. However, it was just such a good value.
Well, I
and we
also,
saved the dog. Yeah, it's an adoption.
No, I agree. And I agree with you. I think it's hard to say, like, what is the right time? It's the same with, like, any major life change. It's like,
yeah,
you can prepare all you want. But, like, I mean, you know, you're set up for success. The fact that you have done a full, like, puppy training before. So you're not coming in blind and being like, I hope this works. Like, you have some foundation to build on. But it's all, again, you know what? It's just a little extra love to add to the house.
Yeah. And honestly, the worst, there's two things that actually I don't enjoy right now. It's the waking up to go outside to take her pee, which... Yeah. Was not as big of a problem in Florida because it was warmer out.
Yeah.
And number two, she just chews on sticks. She's going to end up with crunchy stick butthole like Grievous did at one point. So, but
yeah,
that's
Watson
that's
went
it.
Through that phase. Well, he also was just like eating dirt and then he would just be pooping dirt. And he was just like coming out and I was like, that's just dirt. Like there's nothing else there. It's just dirt.
But honestly,
your body
like,
absorbed nothing from this.
Yeah. She's smart. You could tell that she is a sweet dog. She's going to be a sweet dog. But she is jumping and she's biting, which are like things that she will grow out of. She will get trained out of those. But the stick eating and the what was the other thing I said? Oh, and the waking up. And it's just cold, that's all. But it's great. It's gonna be fun. We have her in a class Monday, so we're starting Monday training.
Do you call her V or Vanellope or both?
I call her Vanellope.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm sure we will slowly, like Jess calls her V for a nickname. I call her Vanellope for the nickname. But I also don't, like, when we would do a command for Grievous, we would do General Grievous and then the command. I'm just saying Vanellope and then the command. So yeah. It's Vanellope von Schweetz is her name, but it's just Vanellope in my opinion, like, for what I'm doing.
She's very cute.
All she right,
we'll
is
talk
cute.
More about this episode.
All right.
We've gone all over the place.
No, dogs are related to Valentine's Day, and dogs need love, and humans need love. So this is all very topical. And Meredith and Derek have a beautiful baby that they're trying to have sex in the bed with, and then they
no,
leave.
No, they're trying not to have sex in the bed with. They're okay, trying to yes. find somewhere without her to have sex. She is so cute, though.
Yes.
So they try and have sex in the shower, and they're like, ugh, I can't have sex in front of the toys. Yes, you can. Get over it.
Yeah, you can.
And then they're like, let's go have sex in the car, which I'm like, okay, call back to like season one. And then Lexi comes out and she's like, hey, your baby wants you, which is fair. but then Lexi offers to babysit so that they can have some alone time, which is very kind. So she babysits her at night so that they can get their smushes in. Although I'm like, why did you come home? Just smush at the hospital. Like, don't act like you guys don't do this all the time.
Right. Or in the car on the way home from the hospital. Like, there's
it's
any
not the
one
same.
Of them. You're right. I understand.
Well, because if they're actively on the way home from the hospital, then it's way less mutual than if they are in a bed together. If they have pulled over and parked the car, then they can have full sex. If someone is driving, they're not having sex.
Well, okay, yes, that I meant pull over.
Okay, I thought you
somewhere.
Meant the other thing.
No, because not the road head.
Some people are into it.
Don't I know some
shame.
People are into it.
You know what
it.
I
I'm
love is
shaming.
There's the meme that says I won't kink shame, but I will kink wonder why. And I feel like that's funny. I like that.
My algorithm has been weird this last like 2 weeks. I'm either getting Always Sunny in Philadelphia meme videos.
Not for
or hot dog in the backpack video. Have you seen that, like that one that I just put on my story?
Yeah, I didn't like it. I didn't even watch the whole thing. I was like, I can already tell that I hate this.
It was great. Or like, I don't know why, but I am just getting flooded with all of these stupid OnlyFans accounts that are just like girls in bikinis. And I'm like, guys, listen, I get it. You're hot. I'm not paying to see pictures of girls.
Are they messaging you?
No. It's like my suggested for you reels. Like my algorithm is all over the place right now.
You can go on the little dot dots and say, show me less. Don't show me things like this. That is the thing that you can do.
Really?
Yeah. When it, anything like... that comes up that's suggested, if you do a dot, 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 then there's an option that says not interested. And you can click on that and it will remove things similar to that from your suggested algorithmal posts.
Like right now, my suggested reels, the three that I could see in one screen, there's a girl in a very revealing boob outfit, an Always Sunny video, and Donald Glover talking about the rappers with the most Grammys, their top 10.
Donald Glover?
Glover.
Glover?
You say tomato. I say
his
Glover.
Name correct. You say
is it Glover?
Things.
I thought
it's
it was Glover.
Glover. It's Glover. Like,
I thought he
right.
was related to Danny Glover.
Glover. Also Glover.
No, Danny Glover.
No, it's your. I don't understand how
you look
you've
in the
made
annals of history.
This is exactly how I know that I'm right. Shit like that. Well, no, if you I will tell you this, though, I do think probably a large part of the Always Sunny in Philadelphia audience is wanting the nude girl content. So that might be a one for one as to why that's happening.
But the glizzy thing feels very targeted to me as an individual. So I'm glad I found that one. That one's nice. All hot dog related content, really.
Get you at that Costco, man. Get you that $1.50. Foot long hot
dollar.
Dog in a now they're getting rid of their Pepsi products. They're going to Coke. Costco
wow.
is doing the Lord's work out here. And I
wow.
love it. Everyone
that's
switched
take,
to Costco. Don't
that's
go
where
to Sam's.
Take,
Sam's phone is fucked.
Well, yeah, Sam's Club is booty. Although they're shopping pay, like just like where you could just walk around shop, you scan it to the app and you walk right out. You never even see a cashier.
Yeah, but they're owned by Walmart and, you know, as a corporation are garbage.
Oh, yeah.
That's the issue.
But man, do I love Walmart Plus.
It's again, great. Garbage. But Costco's great.
But at least I'm looking at other non-Tesla vehicles right now. So
thank God, because it's just getting worse with every day.
Yeah, I know. I know. Although I did go into a Hyundai dealer to look at the Ioniq and Ioniq 5, and I spent 15 minutes looking at this car. I sat inside of it, adjusted the seats, looked at the trunk, sat in the back seat, sat physically in the back seat. Not a single person approached me at this dealership. So I left them a scathing 1-star review. I was pissed.
I think... Okay. I don't know that that was the next logical step. Also, I think you're looking at it coming from a background in luxury cars, which is where you like attack every single person who walks in the door, which like if that happened to me, I would be like, I actually hate it here. Leave me alone. Let me look. I'll let you know if I need help.
No, I wouldn't be there unless I wanted help. This is 2025.
Yeah. Half the people buy their cars online.
I know. That's why if I'm in there physically, I have a question.
They're probably like, this guy's in here to take a nap.
No, I needed to put a car seat behind the driver's seat and see how it fit.
And you didn't ask?
No, they approach me. They need to earn my money.
But if they approach you and you hate them, then like there's no winning.
No, at least they approach
me. Because there are
people
that are like, don't talk to me unless I ask for help.
No, well, I'm not them. And you won't know
if they... Well, that's what I'm saying. How do you know?
You won't know until you approach them. Approach everyone, assume that they want help until they tell you they don't.
I disagree.
And that's fair. We're going to take a message. We're going to take a break and talk to capitalism. Capitalism, come clear this one up for us. We'll be right back.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
And we are back. Can I help
I
you
hope
with that,
so.
Kelsey?
I hope someone just got an ad for a Hyundai.
I hope so.
I hope more than anything that just happened for somebody in the world. Okay, so Meredith and Derek, Lexi is babysitting for them, but they're like running all over trying to smush. And so she takes Zola to Sophia's, to Mark's, to hang out with Sophia. And she's like, you know, wanting to converse with him.
She wants to tell him that she's still in love with him.
Yeah, she does. She absolutely does. Julia, she knows that Julia isn't there because Mark tells her that Julia's like has a surgery, so they won't be together on Valentine's Day. And but Jackson shows up he says salad, steak, and wine, but there's flowers in that bag too, which I am all for. I'm just like, I love that he also brought flowers. Like, that's amazing.
Oh man, normalize bros getting their bros flowers.
Yes, or sure. Any gifts, just any, like again, yeah. any just like random little thought you might like this gift. And so he shows up there and he's like, you have to help me study for my boards, because somehow this man like doesn't know that that test is a huge fucking deal. This to me is where I was like, I'm a little unclear, because you are a good surgeon. They've made it clear, you know, you've worked hard with Mark on plastics, but I'm like, how do you just not know that you need to study for what is arguably like one of the largest exams of your career?
Well, I know a lot of people who have passed 2 boards and they're double board certified.
Probably were studying.
Myself having passed three boards. I'm triple
You've
board
passed
certified.
No boards, except for boards on the side of the road.
Yeah, and I've passed three of them.
Not today. You didn't even leave your house. Actually, I don't know what you did today.
Nope, I didn't pass. I didn't leave the house today. Not yet. After this, I'm going to get Marlo from daycare.
Ah. So, yeah, it's just, that was weird to me that he was like, wait, we're supposed to be studying already? I'm like, yes, probably for a while.
From the second you started.
But he's also used the excuse of like, oh, fifth year's been kicking my ass. So I'm like, okay, in what way? If all you're doing is like, oh, you have to write this paper or whatever, you're not also studying. I don't understand. That part was just, I was like, what? I mean, I agree, like, you should actively be studying. And if you can have like a mentor, you know, like your mentor, someone who's gone through the test, help you with that, then I would think that would be the way to go.
Correct. And I also don't know, is it like, the boards, are they multiple choice? Are they written answers? No. Is it all paperwork? Is it
oral.
An essay? Or, oh, nice.
Oral boards.
Very nice for Valentine's Day.
So that will occur later on.
The oral?
No, the boards.
Oh, okay. We will see them go through the boards. And at this point, my prediction is that George comes back as a cameo, not playing George.
That is the stupidest request, and you make it all the time.
He's going to be the one who's doing the board. He's proctoring the test.
Why do you need him to come back as an? I already asked last week. It doesn't matter. Just wish you would. Let it go. And so, yeah, well, I mean, what do you think will be the outcome of the boards? Because they keep talking about them. Obviously, they're a big deal.
I think this is where Jackson leaves the show and he fails. He fails boards. No,
now,
I don't
think
that. April. April's going to fail the boards.
Okay, you know, these boards are different than the intern exam, or like if you fail these boards, you're still a doctor. You're just not board certified in whatever specialty. So you're just like, it kind of is just like taking something that like would make you more qualified than the next person, or like make you more appealing to hire.
What is
to my understanding? That is like the basis. My understanding of this is solely from this show. It comes from nothing else. I could be very wrong in reality. Feel free to let us know if we are. I'm not going to look it up. You can
what,
be
what
a doctor
is April's
and not
specialty
be board certified. April is specializing in trauma.
Trauma.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
maybe
April
they all
is
pass.
Trauma.
You know what? They all pass. They're all gonna get board certified, because that's what this show needs, is more of the best doctors in the world.
Okay, so April's trauma, Jackson is plastics, Christine obviously is cardio, Meredith is general, Alex is peds. That's everybody, right? I didn't forget anybody.
Well, there was that random guy who we saw again in that surgery with Teddy
Steve.
And Christina. Steve. He's for sure failing his boards.
I wrote a note. I was like, intern Steve. And then I like did the math and I was like, he was an intern like before Gary Clark. Like when he was an intern, Izzy was still there. So for sure he's at least a resident now.
Yeah, he's failing his boards.
He's not a fifth year, though. He's not taking boards yet, so it doesn't matter.
When he gets there, he's going to fail.
Oh, you're so mean to Steve.
It's okay. It's all right.
So, yes, that's what's happening with the boards coming up. Everybody's studying except for Jackson, but now he's going to get Mark to study with him, and he's going to cook him steak, and then Lexi's going to show up. And Jackson obviously and immediately knows that Lexi is what Lexi is there for. It's uncomfy.
Yeah.
But
and then she tries to leave and Mark's like, no, you love steak. Come on in and get some of this meat.
Well, like at first I'm like, OK, does Mark also know what she wants to say? Because he says Jackson can leave if you want to talk. And I was like, I truly had no recollection of that part. Like I remembered everything else, but I did not remember him saying that. And I was like, why would he say that if it isn't like exactly what it is?
Yeah.
Like, it just feels like he clearly knows what she wants to say.
Yeah, it does kind of feel like that. And he's kind of like, he lowers his voice, you know? Like,
yeah, exactly. Like, the line delivery on it is very like, oh, like, you know what? If you want to talk about us, come on in. Let's talk about it. So,
but you
I don't
should
know.
Take your clothes off to have this conversation.
Yeah, it's just like that part, because the whole relationship between the two of them has obviously evolved since they've been broken up, and they are like have got back to a good working relationship, and it even seemed like a friendship kind of thing. Obviously, Lexi did throw a ball at Julia's boob,
but she's fine.
She's healed. And so it was like the scene in the hospital where they're eating the chocolate and he's like, well, I bought this for Julia, but she's in surgery, so whatever. And then Lexi's like, well, I lied. My date's with Zola. Like, I'm just babysitting. I don't have anyone to go out with, all this stuff. So, like, they have this moment. And I don't know. It's just like, I just was very confused by the line that Mark delivers of like, if you want to talk, he can leave. Because it really felt like the delivery on it was, oh, you're in love. We should still be together. Let's have a conversation about it. But then, yeah, the hard pivot when Jackson comes around the corner and she's like, I'll go. And then he's like, oh no, you love steak. Come on in and stay. The kids can play together. We can all hang out. Cause I'm like, wait, that's a hard pivot to just like a weird situation because she dated both of you.
Right.
And Jackson definitely knows what's happening. Cause that's why they broke up.
Yeah. And I don't know. Mark knows that they were together. He knows they were together for a while. It was a weird scene. It was very uncomfortable. I feel bad for Lexi. You gotta think it was at least 2 hours in that situation. Maybe.
Well, and like she was before she goes over there, she's like pacing at home talking to Zola. She's like, what should I do? Should I tell him? Should I not tell him? And a lot of this has to do with her patient who, like, rewinding, her patient is a couple. Well, that's the man in the couple. And they come in because the girl got really upset in the morning because she thought the guy was going to propose. And he was going to propose, but he didn't do it. And so she ran out of the house, and then he chased her and got hit by a car. And ultimately died. And then Lexi found out that he was going to propose the whole time.
That so, locket is like, that messed me up.
Yeah, I remembered that, like, I didn't remember it was this episode, but as soon as, like, they got out of the ambulance, I was like, oh, shit. This one is fucked.
It's sad. Like, and it's a bummer because, so they've been together for 8 years, and she's like, there's that scene where Lexi goes up to her and says something to the effect of, oh, maybe he doesn't know. And she's like, we go to 20 weddings a year.
Also,
I
like,
cry at all of them.
The way that she's talking to him about it when they come in, I'm like, this is not the first time they've had this conversation. Like,
right.
He knows. If you've been together with someone for 8 years, you've talked about your future. Like, you just, like, he knows. It is what it is. And this was reminiscent. There was another storyline many seasons ago, because it was when Izzy was still there, about like a couple, and the guy said Ted told Izzy he was going to propose, but then he got cancer and he didn't want to propose until he was better, and then he dies because he had told Izzy, oh, I have a ring at home, it's in this box or whatever, and then Izzy tells the girl, like, go home and look in this box. I don't really remember.
Right.
I just remember vaguely that happened, but it kind of reminds me of this storyline.
Yeah, well, what I don't understand about this scenario, and obviously it's for drama, it's for TV, right?
Right.
But the second she left the house, I'd have been like if this was me and Jessica, just look in the locket, okay? You idiot. Come here.
Well, it's like, you don't even have, I'm like, she doesn't have to leave yet. Like, literally, as soon as she's getting mad, like, they're eating breakfast in bed, makes me think they're still in their pajamas. She's fully dressed. So she's mad enough to get up and get dressed and run out of the house, probably whilst yelling at you.
Right.
At some point, you can be like, I'm trying to propose.
Right.
Like, and I agree with you. Like, why haven't you just said it?
Right.
Like, you don't need to commit so much to this little bit that you wrote it in this cheap little locket. Like, you can just say it at some point. And then you get the story of like, oh yeah, she was being really mean to me when I proposed. And then it's just a funny story. But everyone's alive.
I gotta tell you, well, you're right. We all, and I am the boy who lived, married to the woman who lived. It's just at that point though, if that's how you react when you're trying to do something that's like quirky and funny, like, okay, you shouldn't be together anyways, maybe. And also, no disrespect to anyone out there, but like also 8 years is too long. It's a hair too long, guys. It's
how long were you guys together?
Well, we were engaged for 6 years.
You were not engaged for 6 years. That's factually
incorrect.
I mean,
you're right.
I was there. You were not engaged for 6 years.
We were long distance for 6 years, but I proposed after 6 years. Yes.
Yes. But that was also different because I feel like these people are older than you guys were when you started dating.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she says, she's like, we're not teenagers. So, but I feel like my take on it was that they had had conversations about it and like, she felt that they were on the same page. And, you know, she even gets to the point where she's like, I don't give a shit if we're married. I just need him to be okay. Of course he's not. And then I go back on, I think about this all the time. And I wonder, like, does Lexi tell her to look in the locket or does she, like, does this woman ever find out that he was trying to propose? Because like, I also hope not, because the guilt you carry around from that will fuck you up for life.
Yeah, that's like when you take the locket, because they probably bring the stuff back to her. Sharon,
they give
I think
you like
name.
They give you like the patient belongings in a bag.
I'm
like
hopeful
everything he came in with
that. Lexi had the foresight to take the paper out of the locket.
That's my truth
too.
Takes the paper out and this woman never finds out that he was actually proposing, because like, you know, she already feels guilty.
Yeah,
but like putting that layer on top of it would just be like, I'm like, you don't come back from that. Like, you would just be fucked for life.
Well, and now Lexi, poor Lexi, has to live with that guilt for the rest of her life. It's like, I couldn't tell this woman. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be a story that, you know, is just going to live in her mind rent free. But like the unfortunate part, too, is the beginning of this. You think it's going to be a happy ending. I thought they were going to get back together and they were going to resolve things. And even that scene where there's some comedic timing where Weber is like,
we're taking your fiance for surgery.
Well, even before that, when she's like, Lexi, get this girl out of here. And he goes, a man deserves to bleed in peace. Or a man should get to bleed in peace, whatever
it
is.
Yeah, that was, I wrote that as well.
Even Weber has like this German Shepherd head tilt moment when, we're taking your fiance. And then Lexi goes, he's not their fiance.
He's not her fiance. That's part of the problem. Yeah.
So, and then even on the coattails of the Lexi and Mark scene, because Mark is the one who jumps in to does the compressions when the guy codes and they're having their chocolate scene, you think, oh, okay, like they're going to work together. Things are going to be fine. But yeah, he was not fine. He died.
But I definitely think that her like seeing that in the locket had played a big part in her like wanting to tell Mark how she feels.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because she's like, look how fast things can change.
My least favorite saying in the entire world, I've said this before, I'm gonna say it again, I will say it every day until I die if I have to, is it goes without saying.
Yeah.
Just say everything. Like,
but people always say that before they say the thing. So I'm like, clearly it doesn't, because you're having to say it.
Right. That's when you say, it goes without saying is a stupid phrase.
Yeah.
So I want to tell you something that I'm thinking about.
I have often said things that go without saying still need to be said before I tell someone like, oh, you know, like I'll always support you or I love you or whatever. Like, because I'm like, you take for granted that people know how you feel.
Right.
So I just like want to always try not to do that.
You know, Kelsey, it goes without saying, but I still want to say this. I love doing this podcast with you.
Thanks. It's fine.
Okay.
It goes without saying. I hate you. I'm just kidding. I don't. I do love you and I love your family and I love our weird ass friendship. And I love that other people also love it.
Yes. Yes.
It goes without saying, but we're still going to say it. We love all of our listeners so much.
It goes without saying, and we're still going to say it. Go give us a 5-star.
I was almost going to say that. Go, I was like, I'm going to say this when he's done talking.
Goes without saying, go to Patreon and go to Discord and tell us you love us and all the stuff.
Okay, do you have any more on the Sharon, Charlie, Lexi, Weber? Weber is, we'll just touch really quickly on it. Like, today is his anniversary with Adele. Obviously, the last time we saw them, she was like, the Alzheimer's is getting worse. He says he's going to go home early and spend the day with her. We later find out that he does go home to have dinner with her. She does not recognize him, but not in like the distressed way that we had seen previously. She just like didn't recognize him, but she was like, they basically had a first date essentially. And he was like, I think she's falling in love with me again, which is heartbreaking, but also like very sweet. And it's just like, ugh. It's a hard reality that a lot of people go through with that.
Yeah.
But it is nice. I did like that they did follow through on the storyline of like him going home and being able to spend his anniversary and Valentine's Day with Adele.
Yeah, that was an interesting way that they did that. Because you layer a lot of emotion and you layer a lot of storyline into not even seeing Adele in that moment.
Yeah.
So... kudos to the writers. Kudos to... who's the name of the actor that plays Weber?
James Pickens.
James Pickens, kudos. That was a very well done scene. And I'm glad that Bailey was the one who's on the other end of that.
Yeah.
I think they've done a lot to move Weber's relationship forward with a lot of characters. Meredith included.
Yeah. I think the choice of like him... as much as I think he was the best of the three chiefs we've seen, he's the best one. But I think the every other part of his life thrives so much more when he's not the chief, because he just like gives too much of himself for the hospital to be able to give himself like in any other aspect of his life. So when he steps down from that responsibility, he does put, you know, more of himself into like his personal relationships. And I think that that's what he deserves. I think that's what most people deserve.
Well, that's what we've seen from all the chiefs is there, like even with Hunt, he put so much of himself into the chief role that he made a terrible human choice with his friend. And
oh, you suck so much.
Yeah. At the end of the day, he was in it, like, we'll get to it. We'll get to it. But that the whole Owen Hunt, should we just talk about it now, I guess? Should we just talk about Hunt right now?
Yeah, we can get into it.
Or do we want to talk about it next episode, next, like, second half?
Yeah, I have more than 10 minutes to say about how much I hate that man. I'm not on his side. spoiler alert.
Let's talk about these freaking kids.
Like, I was going to say, let's talk about these precious 10-year-olds. Both their moms suck.
Yeah, but is Nico, is she allergic to Nico? Is Nico lacing his hands with peanut butter? I don't understand.
No, she's just having a really bad reaction to the peanut butter.
Well, it looked like every peanut time clusters. They would hold hands, it would get worse. I was like, is this kid trying to kill her at one point? I genuinely thought he's like a narcissist child murder person.
You're weird. No, that's not the plot. I understand where both the moms are coming from, but I feel like they needed to have their conversation not in front of these kids.
No,
because there are just like certain behaviors you don't want to like be an example of in front of your kids. And like being mad that your kid has someone who cares about her is like a weird message to send. Like understanding that there are accidents is a good message to them. Like, I don't know. It was just like really frustrating to me on both accounts. Like, I do think obviously like the first mom didn't mean to do that, but I'm like, you can apologize before you're just like, it's not my fault. So like, technically it is your fault, but you still didn't mean to do it. Like you can apologize
and
like explain yourself and like take accountability. But also, the other mom was like so fast to be so rude to her and the kid in front of her own kid. And that also bothered me a lot.
That moment where, and this is so real, who religiously checks these memos that the school sends out? No one. I look at the first line and I go, this is not going to be for me. I don't need this.
Well, my thing was more just like, and I think this is more specific to our generation, but like, I think there was a huge spike for our generation in peanut allergies than the generation prior. And then also the generation since, like, they don't have, it's not as big a deal anymore. Like the other day at school in Bennett's class, they like made peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Like they all like let the little kids do it. So I'm like, clearly,
are you
no
saying
one has a peanut allergy in his class?
There's a decrease. You're saying there's a decrease spike?
Yes.
An inverted spike, a downward spike.
Just a decrease. You don't have to say spike.
Well, you said
just
spike.
Just say decrease.
You said spike, and I thought you meant like it was going up.
No. So it went up for us, and then it's gone down since our generation.
Oh,
like it's
okay.
Not a big deal anymore. So, so then, yeah, like it's just less of, I mean, they still like when it's Valentine's Day or Halloween and everyone has to bring candy, they still say like, try and bring nut-free candy, because peanuts and tree nuts is still the number one allergen. But it's just like, I remember being in high school with a girl who like could not smell peanut butter or she would go in anaphylactic shock.
That's crazy.
And it's just not that serious anymore. Like there are, those people still exist. I just don't think there are as many.
Yeah, that's fair. Did I ever tell you that there was a girl I worked with at Disney who would walk into a room and say, like, just so everyone knows, I just have to say this, like, please do not put anything egg related in the microwave. I will die. And I'm like, that's insane. Like, there's no way. And she's like, yeah, like I have an egg allergen that's so bad that even like microwaving the particles into existence, like it will, I will die. Like I,
that's crazy.
You know? And I'm like, okay, cool. So I tested it. She died. She was right. no,
but
kidding.
I got her.
but you know, I had to be sure.
I needed to know she wasn't lying.
You know, it's the Scorpio in me. I couldn't take her for her face value. So the thing that I didn't like about that, and I thought the mom should have hit back with, I'm sorry that you feel like I need to have read those memos, something to that effect, something sassy. But good guy Alex shows up and he says, hey guys, how about you both shut up? Kids are in love. It's cute. It's fine.
Let
how
them
about
be.
This?
Like, they're cute. Let them be cute. I was like, that's correct.
Yeah.
That's
just let them be
just
cute.
Correct. Once like, you have get your to, bullshit elsewhere.
Once you get to 13, I'm not going to let you be cute because then you're starting to have sex and I don't want that teenage pregnancy life. So although 10-year-olds are having sex now, that's disgusting. So when he takes the note, like the thing that Nico wrote was actually very cute.
It was very
little,
cute. And him, the way he read it was very cute.
Yeah. In my truth, Alex is reading it for the first time. So it also was making him happy to read it. Like,
yeah,
Nico was the one who was writing it in his little 10-year-old handwriting. Probably still better than mine.
I love when he says, I love you. And Alex goes, whoa.
Yeah.
So
whoa.
Cute.
It doesn't matter who gave who lice.
That was so cute. Although I, as someone who as a child had lice, not fun.
Yeah,
and also worked with it extensively. Encountered it regularly at work at Disney.
No, you would see a lot of the crawlies. You'd see the live ones.
No, I actually only saw bugs like a handful of times. But I found the eggs constantly.
Ugh, it's crazy.
But I do remember the first time I saw the bugs, and I was like, I just felt so bad for the girl.
There's nothing you could do. You have to just
well,
say,
I mean, you treat it. There's nothing I could have done. Yes.
Yeah.
But like
yeah.
The
generally,
you're, yeah.
Do they get refunds at that point?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you typically, we would give them the option of like, we can do like the makeup and nails and like presentation, but just not do the hair, but still send everything home with you that we would have used. Or we can just refund you and you can leave.
Yeah.
It's not fun. I always felt so bad for the parents because they don't know.
Yeah.
Like, and honestly, I always like a lot of people were really rude about it and be like, there's so gross. First of all, lice won't live in your hair if it's greasy. Like, they need clean hair. Like, the oil and grease will suffocate them. So, like, if you have like a very clean hair, that's where they're going to thrive. But also, like, I think so many people get it traveling really long distances, like airplanes and airports. Because if you are. They can't live on like a leather fabric. It has to be like a like a woven fabric.
Like a fabric.
Yeah, but like I just feel like there's so many places that you don't think of that you could get. Like some, I don't remember recently, I feel like I went to a movie theater and it was fabric chairs. And I was like, I hate this, instead of leather chairs.
Oh, I mean, even the you go to a store and your kid accidentally, like they're like, oh, I'm just going to put this hat on because it's cute.
Oh, yeah, that's like, I'm always like, let me see that hat. Yeah. Let me look at it first.
So it's no judgment. I never had lice, knock on wood. I hope to never have lice. But the kid scene was cute. And yeah, just let love be love, you know?
Yeah. And again, I definitely understand why both moms are upset. I'm not saying that they're unjustifiably upset. I just feel like sometimes as the adult, you have to handle those conversations not right in front of your kid, especially in like the scenario where their kids are probably already upset.
Right.
Like, I just feel like it's not the best example that you're setting. So that was just my thought. I don't want to say that one of them was right and one of them was wrong. I just felt like both of them kind of weren't doing a great job, but Alex was handling it really well. Which I liked a lot.
Yeah.
So and they were cute kids. And in my truth is that they got married when they were like appropriately aged.
18.
No. When their brains were fully developed, and then maybe a couple extra years in case.
Wow. Imagine being 10 years old, saying that you love each other, staying together all the way through at least 25, and then a couple additional years to meet Kelsey's requirements.
Yeah. I mean, listen, sometimes I work these bridal shows and I talk to couples and they walk away and I'm like, they're so young. And like, I don't want them to split up. Like, I don't want people's marriages to fail. I just worry about it. Like, I just fear it to be a higher likelihood if you're 19 or 20. And I know that there are success stories. Dylan and Karina got married when they were 20 and they are still together. Like,
yeah,
people can do it. It's not like an absolute that you will or will not be successful in a relationship based on your age. I am just like, let your brain fully develop, because people, like, I just think about who I was even at like 22, 23. And I'm like, that's not who I am forever.
Do you ever like, look back and think, even at 32 and 33, man, I was such a different person?
Not really. Not anymore. I'm done changing. I'm set in my ways. Oh, I've met perfection.
I've peaked. I think I peaked at 29 and I've just maintained. Like, I hit 29 and I was like, oh man, okay.
You didn't peak, you plateaued.
I plateaued.
That's because you're maintaining it.
Yeah. Yeah. Although I do think I have probably 6 to 7 more peaks left in me.
That's not how peaking works. I fear that you don't understand.
Look at a mountain range. Look at a mountain range. There's lots of peaks.
But you're not a mountain range. You're an individual singular mountain.
I'm a.
Okay.
Well, I don't know why that was so funny.
We'll wrap that up.
I thought you were going to say I'm a singular mountain range. And I'm like, that's just what I said.
Okay. We're going to get it together and then we'll start another episode after everybody's favorite segment.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.